This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, July 24th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, what to do with an absentee state lawmaker. We'll also have a forecast from meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, today's news. The founder of a school that got $1 million in state assistance is contradicting claims by the Blagojevich administration that the school got the money in a bureaucratic mistake. The founder of Loop Lab School, Elmira Mays, told the Chicago Tribune that Blagojevich personally promised her the money. May says the governor made the promise when he visited Pilgrim Baptist Church and talked with her as she was sifting through debris from her burned-out school. The school rented space in the church. Blagojevich has said that unnamed officials in his administration mishandled his pledge to help the church. It was a landmark badly damaged in the 2006 fire. Yesterday, Blagojevich spokesman Lucio Guerrero told the Tribune the governor didn't tell Mays her school was getting money. Guerrero said she may have misunderstood Blagojevich's remarks. The University of Illinois is ahead of schedule on its largest fundraising campaign ever. The university just passed the milestone $1 billion mark. The ultimate goal is to raise over $2 billion by 2011. The Brilliant Futures campaign raises money for scholarships, endowments, and research. Don Koich is with the U of I Foundation. He says attracting skilled professors is a priority for the campaign.
That's the core of where we're at. We need to have top faculty, and with top faculty, then we're able to recruit top students from all over the country and all over the world.
The public phase of the Brilliant Futures campaign launched about a year ago. An important part of the campaign is to raise money for departments across the university. Donations include the largest contribution to the School of Music ever and funding for family research programs from alumna and Pampered Chef founder Doris Christopher. The biggest contribution so far is a $100 million donation from alumnus Tom Siebel. It'll be used for science and engineering programs. Transit planners are looking for ways to encourage more travel and fewer cars along two main routes linking the U of I campus with downtown Champaign and Urbana. The CU Mass Transit District wants to work with local city officials on a study that focuses on Springfield Avenue in Urbana and White Street in Champaign. MTD Managing Director Bill Volk says the study will examine how to encourage more alternatives to single-passenger car traffic on those streets, whether it's carpooling, bus travel, cycling, or walking. At the same time, Volk says the study will look at potential development along White and Springfield that could complement their role as major transit corridors.
Because if we can get more development in those corridors, it will increase walking trips, it will increase bicycle trips, and it will also increase transit trips, which will more than likely then reduce auto trips and help with congestion, help with less fuel usage, help with a smaller carbon footprint.
A similar strategy was part of earlier MTD proposals for a tram or streetcar route in Champaign-Urbana, but Volk says this study isn't looking at such a dramatic change in transit. The study is part of long-term planning for Champaign-Urbana transit needs. Urbana's city council voted this week to support the study, and Volk says if the Champaign council does the same next month, the study could be complete by year's end. Planners are proceeding cautiously with development plans on a one-block area that merges the U of I campus with a West Urbana neighborhood. They're looking for public comment for the Lincoln-Busey corridor. The area is bounded by two streets to the east and west, Lincoln and Busey, and Illinois and Pennsylvania streets on the north and south. Urbana Planning Manager Robert Meyer says the city's comprehensive plan called for design guidelines to ensure new developments compatible with the existing character of the neighborhood. He says keys to this plan include building size, parking, and what side of new buildings will face the street.
The buildings are turned sideways or inwardly oriented. And people feel like that takes away from the neighborhood. In other words, is there a way to orient the entryways of the buildings to the street? Is there a way to ensure that the portion of buildings that face the street, they have window openings and door openings instead of just the blank walls?
Meyer says the plan will also avoid apartment buildings on stilts, or they'll find a way of accommodating parking without raising the structures. The city held an open house last night for public input on the plan. A $100,000 grant from the State Department of Veterans Affairs will help give free legal services to former military men and women in downstate Illinois. Jeff Williams has more.
Veterans Affairs Director Tabby Duckworth says the money will allow the Southern Illinois University School of Law in Carbondale to start a veterans legal assistance program.
Nobody knows better how to serve the veterans in this community than places like SIU. than the people who represent veterans in these communities. And that's why this money is going back out to you.
SIU Law School Assistant Dean John Lynn is retired from the U.S. Marines. He says the legal assistance program will help clear a 36-month backlog in disability cases.
What we want to do is assist with picking up some of that caseload, handling appeals that vets would normally handle on their own, offer them some legal advice, prep the package for them. We can represent them at a hearing.
Lynn says the grant will help cover transportation costs for the caseworkers to travel to where the veterans live to assist with their claims. The money to fund the Veterans Department grants comes from sales of a special statewide lottery ticket. I'm Jeff Williams.
Toy recalls garnered plenty of headlines over the last year, and the number of those products pulled from the market continues to go up at a record pace. Brian Imus with the Illinois Public Interest Research Group says Congress needs to take action. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are wrangling with a bill that would beef up the Consumer Product Safety Commission, but they have yet to work out all the details, and Imus says more regulation is needed.
We shouldn't have to rely on after-the-fact recalls to get dangerous products out of people's homes and off of store shelves.
The toy industry and chemical manufacturers are opposing certain provisions, such as one that bans phthalates from products. There's disagreement over whether or not those chemicals are toxic. Recalls of toys and other children's products are up more than 20% this year. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The theory behind representative government is that officials are elected to do just that, represent their constituents. Part of a state representative's job takes place at home, where they attend local meetings, resolve disputes, and help those who need it access government programs. But another part of the job involves showing up at the state capitol, introducing bills, and voting on legislation that could affect their districts. It's rare for officials to neglect those duties. But as Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky reports, it does happen.
When the Illinois House earlier this month held a special session to deal with cuts to the state budget, many attempts to override the governor failed because too many lawmakers were absent. Representative Frank Martino, a LaSalle County Democrat, says it's disrespectful.
I think anytime we're in session, the members should be here. That's what we're paid to do.
One of the legislators who didn't make it to Springfield was Rich Bradley, who's represented the 40th District in Chicago since 1997.
The House will be in order.
It's not the only time Bradley's missed session this year.
Roll call for attendance. Representative Curry.
Thank you, Speaker. Please let the record reflect that Representatives Duncan, Gordon, Washington, and Rich Bradley are excused today.
Bradley's missed 38 of the 48 days the House has been in session since February. That's when he lost a primary race for a seat in the state Senate. He'd basically been forced out of his House spot after a tangled tango involving some of Illinois' most politically connected families. The governor's sister-in-law and the daughter of a powerful Chicago alderman, Deborah Mell, decided to make a bid for Bradley's seat. Rather than fight her, Bradley instead challenged the district's incumbent senator, Iris Martinez. Martinez says things got nasty.
And became a very personal fight.
Martinez ended up defeating Bradley by well over 2,000 votes. Ever since, Bradley's been a rare sight around the Capitol. Deborah Mell, who was uncontested in the Democratic primary for Bradley's longtime House position, is widely expected to win the general election for it. Mell says it's an outrage and has a list of local issues she says Bradley has ignored for too long. Local voters are upset about Bradley's attendance record as well, including a Mell supporter, activist Nick Carusi. He started a petition campaign asking Bradley to step down.
He's been a silent voice, you know. He only whispered before, and now he doesn't even show up. So he shouldn't be able to finish his term. He should just resign.
One theory on why Bradley's been missing in action is money. Even if he isn't on the floor for votes, Bradley still draws an annual $75,000 salary from the state. But Bradley has another job as well. He's an assistant general superintendent for the City of Chicago's Streets and Sanitation Department, for which he earns around $100,000. State law won't allow him to be paid for that Chicago job on days he's at the Capitol. But by skipping out on session, Bradley is paid for both. Getting Representative Bradley's take on the situation was difficult. Not only was he not around the State House to question in person, but he didn't return more than a dozen messages left at his Capitol, District, and City of Chicago offices. Then, at the end of May, Bradley showed up for crucial House votes on the budget. At the time, he'd only been at three of the House's 28 meetings. When asked where he'd been, Bradley said he had commitments to take care of at home.
Can you elaborate at all?
No, I won't.
Do you feel as if that's fair to your constituents who, you know, elected you to be here?
Well, I'm here for the budget votes, and again, many of the votes are mainstream Democratic issues, which pass with overwhelming support.
When prodded further about his attendance record, Bradley added that it's harder to manage his diabetes in Springfield, as he has less time to exercise and sleep. Although Bradley passed no legislation, he says he's comfortable with what he accomplished this year. According to the spokesman for the House Speaker, Bradley needs no reason. It's not like missing school, where only certain reasons qualify for an excused absence. If a lawmaker says he won't be at session, the excuse comes automatically. The Better Government Association's Jay Stewart says it's the public that loses.
The concerns and issues in his district don't hinge on his political future. They exist independent of that.
Other members have missed session days, too. In recent years, one representative was stricken with a serious illness and was out for weeks. Another's currently on National Guard duty in Iraq. In those situations, Stewart says he's sympathetic. And it's not just in state government. Illinois' junior senator Barack Obama has missed a slew of votes since his campaign for president began, as has his presumptive opponent, John McCain. Stewart says that, too, can be viewed as legitimate. But Stewart says to blatantly skip legislative sessions for no apparent reason is entirely inexcusable. I'm Amanda Vinney.
Meteorologist Ed Kieser says rain is on the way, but for the Champaign-Urbana area, not quite yet. Today should be still nice. In western Illinois, we'll look for clouds and scattered showers and thunderstorms, but in eastern Illinois, increasingly cloudy today. Still mostly sunny in Indiana. The highs from 78 in the far northeast to 88 in the far south, 83 in Champaign-Urbana with some clouds in the afternoon. For tonight, in Illinois and western Indiana, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Increasing clouds in eastern Indiana. Lows from 58 in northeast Indiana to 68 in western Illinois. 64 with some arriving showers and storms in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy across the two states and humid with scattered showers and thunderstorms. And highs from 82 north to 88 in far south, 83 in Champaign. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a chance of a few lingering showers in the evening, the low 66. Then intervals of clouds and sun for Saturday, a chance of a passing shower or thunderstorm, the high 86. Another chance of rain on Sunday with clouds and a high of 87. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, July 24th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.